Well, hello there. You are about to enter the mind of the mindset maniac. Your mindset is the most important part of your existence. Don't believe me? You will. With a healthy, adaptive, and expansive mindset, you can achieve anything, and you can learn to use every challenge in your life to benefit you in some way. I am here to teach you all the ways your mindset dictates your current experiences in life and ultimately your future. This podcast will teach you applicable tools and resources that you can start applying today to improve your life. So what are we waiting for? Let's go ahead and jump right in. What is up, my friends? Welcome back to another episode of The Mindset Maniac. I am Leslie Krivar, your host and Mindset Maniac, and I want to chat with you all today. Well, first off, hello. How are you? When I start recording these episodes, a lot of times I am in my office, and right now I'm at my kitchen table, and I'm envisioning like sitting here talking to a group of people that I love dearly. I always like try to take a few moments before I start recording these episodes and like envision the people that I am speaking to and that I really want to share this message with. And like I said, a lot of times I'm in my office, and today I'm sitting at the kitchen table. And so I'm like envisioning you all just like sitting here at this large, beautiful table that we got a few months ago. And so that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking of y'all sitting in these green velvet chairs, and we're just having a conversation. And I want to share something with you really important today. And we're going to be talking about thinking our thoughts intentionally, thinking things on purpose. And this is really important because, you know, there's a few ways that I'm actually sharing this mindset work in my life right now. And it's really cool the way that it is unfolding and the different ways that I'm getting to kind of utilize and share these tools with the world. And one of them is in my son's co-op. And so if you haven't heard this on other podcasts, I'll give you a quick overview. But in his co-op, we have the opportunity to teach, and they get to learn about so many different things because it's like not standard curriculum. We have curriculum that we utilize in our homeschool setting, like when I'm teaching him. But when we go to the co-op, like this is like a creation of whatever we want to enrich our kids' lives with. And so every semester it's different. And right now he has two classes. One is like a piggy bank class, which is actually a class for teaching these young, beautiful minds how to be entrepreneurs and how to take an idea and turn it into a business and what that looks like. And, you know, in their own young ways, because this is for first and second graders, but teaching them what it looks like to market and what it looks like to sell a product and what it looks like to take those profits and reinvest it into your idea. So it's like, it's really, really cool. And I love this co-op because for many reasons, but this is one of them, just like this opportunity to decide what we want them to be really focusing on and what's really important outside of just like what is being taught in traditional schools, math, science, history, those things. Not that they're not important, but man, is that not the end all be all. And in my opinion, what's not the most important. And that leads me to what I get to teach, which is social emotional learning. And so for the little kiddos in my class, they are a mix between 6 to 8 year olds, and we are focusing on a lot of stuff, but primarily understanding this concept that, here's how I explain it to them, that their superpower as humans is that they get to control how they feel. And I keep thinking to myself, like, this world would be such a different place if not just kids, but if adults understood this, and not just understood it intellectually, but understood it truly, deeply, like they got it. They understood and they lived from this place that, like, I'm the one that's in control of how I feel. We have been taught directly and indirectly and by influence all around us that our circumstances are what create our feelings. And so we experience this like all day and all throughout our lives where things happen or things don't happen and we feel from them, right? We get into a argument with someone and we feel frustrated, or we get a job promotion and we feel proud, or we find out that someone passed away and we feel sad. And as you're listening to this, you're probably also thinking like, yes, this makes sense. This tracks, as the kids say. But what I want to talk with you about today is that this isn't how things work at all. And it's this very belief and kind of endorsement in how the world works that keeps us in a very helpless, reactive place, and also trying to take action from a place of the least amount of control that we could have in a situation. And so what I want to talk to you about really deeply today is that so many of us think that life just happens to us, and that we are, because of that, at the effect of our circumstances. And circumstances we can think about as like things that like we can't dispute. It's raining, I got fired, we're pregnant, we're not pregnant, house burnt down, I hit a dog. Like, these are things that happen, like it's plain as day, it's black and white, it is what it is. So we think that we are at the effect, like our emotions and how we feel, and then what we do is at the effect of these circumstances that are happening. But what I've learned, what I believe, what I've adopted is that concept is not true. The way that the world works, and I've talked about this in previous episodes, but I'll give you a little overview again here. But the way that the world works is there are five categories of things that happen in this world, and everything that's happening externally, internally, the things that you're doing, the outcomes, like everything slides into one of these five categories. And when you actually understand that anything that's happening, anything that you're experiencing, like it slides into one of these categories, and we can see how these things like play off of each other and how they affect each other, it makes one so much sense. And it also simplifies what we need to do in order to make changes in our lives, or to feel differently, or to act differently, and ultimately to create the life that we would like to have. And it also gives us the healthy control to understand how to deal with things that like don't go our way, the things in our life that are just going to happen. I have this very strong belief that life is supposed to be 50-50, and that, you know, 50% of the time, like things are going to be amazing and wonderful and exciting. And then 50% of the time, things are going to be boring and sad and hard and all of those things as well. Like, life is supposed to be both, just as we're supposed to have the daytime and the nighttime. We're supposed to have the cold and the warm. Like, we're supposed to have all of the emotions and all of the experiences. We're supposed to have death and we're supposed to have life. We're supposed to have struggles and we're supposed to have successes. So that belief that we're supposed to have both is important. It's an important part of the work that I teach. But also, like, when we understand that, it allows us to have better reactions and better experiences when life throws us the things that are inevitably going to happen, and we can manage what we do from there in a place from better control, healthier control, and all of that. So, as I said before, there are these five categories that everything fits into. Okay. From the very top, we have our circumstance. These are the things that I explained about a moment ago with birth, you know, being pregnant, not being pregnant, hitting a dog, someone dying, it raining outside, getting an A on a test, dropping out of school. These are things that are like not debatable. They are facts. They are black and white. They are things that have happened. They are, these are circumstances. After our circumstances, we have thoughts. Thoughts are sentences that happen in our brain. Thoughts are beliefs. Thoughts are the things that are happening oftentimes unconsciously by default, and they just like fire off. They just happen so often without us even like recognizing that it's going off in our brain. So we think that something is acceptable or we think it's not acceptable. We think something is just or we think it's not just. We think that this is how it's supposed to work out or we think this isn't how it's supposed to work out. We have these thoughts in our minds all the time. I like what I'm doing. I don't like what I'm doing. I did a great job at that. I didn't do a great job at that. I look good. I don't look good. This is happening in our brain at all times. 80,000, if not more, thoughts a day. This number is always fluctuating as far as like what you'll find on the internet. And I also think there's like a variation for people as far as like how many thoughts that they're having depending on the individual and how their brain works. So we have our circumstance, then we have our thoughts, then we have our feelings. Our feelings, hear me very clearly here, our feelings are created by our thoughts. That's the only way that it happens. As I said in the beginning of this episode, we have been trained, taught, directly, indirectly, evidence is constantly coming in to prove this, that we feel based on our circumstances. And that's not how it works. And I can tell you that with 1,000% confidence, because if I say to you a baby was born, you would have a feeling about that, right? You might be happy, but guess what? Someone else might be sad. A baby being born to one person, that, and the baby being born is a circumstance, to one person that might make them feel joyous, that might make them feel so happy, that might make them feel so excited. And to another person, that same baby being born might be sad, might be detrimental to their, like, how they're feeling, might make them worried. Okay? We're talking about the same baby being born. So nothing is changing with the circumstance. The only thing that's changing between the circumstance and the feeling is there's a thought that happens in between that circumstance and that feeling. And the thought for the person who is feeling excited and happy might be something like, this is the best thing that could ever have happened to us. We've waited so long. We're so excited. This is amazing, right? Those thoughts would create feelings of excitement and joy, gratitude, all of that. And then in another person's brain, somebody that's worried, somebody that's fearful, somebody that thinks like feels like this is bad, they would be having different thoughts. Certainly, they would be thinking things like, this is not a good idea. They weren't ready. They're not a good match. They shouldn't be raising a child, right? Those thoughts would create the feelings of fear or worry or this is bad. And so what we can see clearly is that same circumstance, this baby being born, creates very, very different feelings for different people, not because of the circumstance, but because of what they are thinking. And this is so important to understand, not just intellectually, but to really like see it out and how it plays out in the world. Okay? Let me simplify this and make it super, super simple. If it is snowing outside, and that's a fact, we can look outside, we can observe that it's snowing, one person might be like, I love the snow. And they're going to be so happy that it's snowing. They love it. Okay. That's what they're thinking. I love the snow. And they're going to feel joy. They're going to feel happy. And then someone else might look out the window and be like, I hate the snow. And they're going to be upset or angry. Same snow. Let's say same two people, or not same, but two people in the same house. And they're having completely different feelings about the same exact thing. The thought is what's creating the feeling. This is so, so important, because the way that we feel is what indicates or what controls what we do next. So we have our circumstance at the top, okay? We're building something here. And then we have our thought, right? The thing that we think about the circumstance. And then we have our feeling, thing that thought creates inside of us. It's an emotion. And that emotion generates what we do. That emotion generates our action. So what do when we feel happy? We do happy things, right? Maybe we hug someone. Maybe we call someone and we're joyful and we're like having like a happy conversation. We do things that happy people who are happy do, right? When we're happy, we're not like moping around. We're not like picking a fight with someone. We're not trying to sleep because we don't want to like talk to anyone. We're like happy. We're walking around. We're doing things. We're engaging with people. Okay. But when we are, let's take a different feeling. When we're feeling sad, right? What does a sad person do? Maybe they cry. Sad people sometimes vent to other people. Maybe they like try and disconnect from the world and numb their feelings by like scrolling on social media and just not wanting to talk about anything, right? So our feelings very, very much indicate what we are going to do next. And that is so important, because if our feelings control what we do and our thoughts control how we feel, what do you think we need to be the most focused on? Our thoughts, right? That's what starts everything. And what most people do in this world is they look at things that are happening in their life. Let's say things that they're doing. They're working out or they're not working out. They are fighting with their spouse or they're not fighting with their spouse. They have a solid morning routine or they don't have a solid morning routine. And they look at these actions and they try to change their life by just changing the action without looking at what created that action or what is creating the inaction, depending on how we're looking at this. And then they get super, super frustrated because they're like, I'm trying to do all of these things, but like, I just feel like I'm stuck. I just feel like things are like continuing to stay the same. I mean, I'm really trying to stick to this workout plan, but it doesn't matter what I do. Like, I keep finding myself falling off the train or like at some point not being able to do it. And the reason is you cannot out-action a negative thought. So when we're trying to take action, let's say like a positive action, but we have a negative feeling and a negative thought, if those things don't align, we will find ourselves like spinning in circles. Maybe we get ourselves a little bit far. We try to like will ourselves. Let's use the example of working out. We try and will ourselves to like work out or to stick to a meal plan. But the thing that's driving that is like, I have to do this. Like, I hate my body. Like, we're trying to get ourselves to take a positive action from a negative emotion, and it's not going to work. This is why people can't stick with diets or certain like workout plans when it's coming from a negative an emotion, or like it's coming from this place of I'm going to hate myself and to change. So it is so important for us to understand how this plays out, because the actions that we take are what create the results that we have in our life. So everything that I just explained to you, I call it the model. I was taught this model. This is the thing that you need in order to understand what's happening in your brain and what's happening in your life. This is the key to awareness. So with my clients, one of the first things that I do, whether directly or indirectly, is I begin to show them how their thoughts are creating everything that's happening in their life. Now, we're not talking about circumstances. We're not talking about their thoughts creating the rain. We're talking about the fact that it's raining, and then they were like thinking, oh, today's gonna suck. And then they were in a bad mood, and then they were short with their friends, and then they were irritated, like, you know, driving aggressively on the way to work, and then, like, you know, they spilled their coffee, and then they were mad about that, like, and then their day just played out in this way where it was a bad day. We're talking about bad days being created not because of the rain, but because of the thoughts that we had. Okay, so it's really important to make that distinction, because sometimes people will be like, wow, if my thoughts create everything, then like my thoughts can change what's happening out in the world. And in some ways, yeah, it can, because your thoughts are going to change how you show up and how you act, but it's not going to control things like the weather or something that's happening on the other side of the world. Okay, so again, this is a process. This model that I'm teaching you is a process that allows you to find out exactly what you're creating as a result in your life. It is a process of noticing, naming, feeling our feelings, and then finding, this is the really important piece, finding the thoughts that's creating those feelings. This takes time, this takes practice, this takes intentionality, okay? And then we notice how those feelings are creating our actions and results, as I said. So we can do this in any order, and sometimes people will think like you gotta start like at the very top or at the very bottom. It doesn't matter. You can recognize something that you're doing and then figure out what you were feeling that created that action and then figure out what thought created that feeling. Or you'll catch yourself maybe sometimes in your thoughts and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm really ruminating on this thought. And then you can access how you're feeling because you're thinking that and what you want to do or what you might do because of that. You can catch it there. You can also catch it in the end point. Like, I had a bad day today, and you can track that down. Like, all right, what led to the bad day? What did I do or not do? What was I feeling that created those actions? And ultimately, like, what started this? So you can figure out or kind of create this awareness from any point in these five things that I'm introducing you to in a lot of ways. But once we understand all of this, okay, and we all have patterns. We are human beings that have these patterns that likely were carved out and created at a very, very young age when we had these fresh neural pathways, and then we started to have life experiences, and then we started to think things unconsciously, and then those things started to become beliefs. Once we start to see these patterns and the thoughts and the beliefs that are creating them, then what happens is we inevitably are like, oh my gosh, I get it. I have these thoughts that are making me feel crummy and making me act crummy and creating a crummy life for me. I gotta fix these thoughts, right? Such a logical thing, a magical thing that happens once like we get the way that the world works from this perspective. And one of the most common questions that I will get from my clients and also the clients that I mentor who work with other clients that they're teaching this work to, is they'll say things like, well, how do I, if I know that this way of thinking is not helping me and I can see that and I can, you know, accept that, how do I change my thinking quickly because I want to feel better, right? If they're like, this makes so much sense, this is the secret to life, if I think good thoughts, I'm going to feel better, how can I do it? And, you know, my answer is always this. We have to start with awareness. You have to understand that your thinking causes your feelings. And it's not just like this one time thing where it's like, oh, okay, I get it. I am thinking that my sister sucks. And so now I'm like really annoyed with her. Now what do I do? How do I fix this? Like, that's checking the boxes of it. And it's not that you're doing it wrong, but we really have to sit in it and to really experience it and not just be like, okay, fine, I get it. I'm thinking that, I'm feeling that. Now what? We have to be with it, okay? This means that you don't try and feel better about a negative situation, okay? But rather you're recognizing that the only thing that's making it a negative situation is the way that you're thinking about it. And this gets people really, really hung up. And I train coaches and I work with like my people on this for a while, because this is a huge sticking point that we have to pay very close attention to. We have to really, really fight and push up against this idea that negative situations are happening. Because if you remember, as I said earlier, a situation is a circumstance. It can't be negative. It's always neutral. The only thing that makes it negative is how we're thinking about it. And we can honestly even take this all the way to the extreme of like someone dying, right? When I say, hey, my uncle died, you're probably thinking that's a bad thing, right? That's negative. But if we make that neutral, because it is, my uncle dying is neutral, then what we decide to think about it is what creates if it's a bad thing or it's a good thing, right? What if I tell you that my uncle was in so much pain? It was insufferable. Every single moment of his existence was painful, and he was wanted to be at peace, and he was ready, you know, to be with God and to be with other family members, and like couldn't wait for the day where it was just time for his body to go on. If I told you all of that and then I said my uncle died, you would be like, what a relief. That sounds like really good news, right? But if I said to you my uncle died and it was in this, you know, it was tragic and he was too young and all of these other things, then we're going to think like, this is a very, very bad thing. So I wanted to make that point again, because I don't think that I can overemphasize how much we have to like really practice this rewiring of our brains over and over again to actually get it. Like, okay, it's sinking in. I get it. It's my thoughts. I've been doing this work for years, and I still need my coaches to point out it's my thoughts, because I'm like everyone else. I still believe, you know, on a soul level, that it's my circumstances that create how I'm feeling, even though intellectually I know it's not. I still need to be reminded. So I'll say it in probably a million podcasts to come, because like we need to be reminded of this all the time. So I'll move through these last pieces, because I want to get all of this out for you. Once this awareness is established and we are in this place where we're like, I want to feel better, this thought is sucking the life out of me, this thought is creating a crummy life for me, the next logical step is to create a new thought. Okay? But here's what you need to know. Thought creation is a skill. And we talk a lot about creating things in our lives, right? But everything is always created in our minds first. So learning how to create thoughts is a skill. And I think it's a skill that isn't taught at all. I was going to say enough, but I don't know anyone that's taught like, here's how you actually create a thought that you want. Here's how you actually create a thought that's going to serve you, instead of just believing all of our default thoughts. Because here's what happens. As I said before, we come into this world, this blank slate. Then we start having experiences, and some people have experiences that create really great thoughts and beliefs, and some people have experiences that create not so good ones, and most of us, if not all of us, have a mix of both, but those become our default thoughts. And the ones that are great thoughts for you to have and to believe, like, I'm wonderful, I can do anything, I'm an awesome person, and those are the default thoughts, that's awesome, and we'll go ahead and keep those, let them rock on. But when we have thoughts that have become our default thoughts and beliefs, like, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I can't do these things, I can't stick to things, I'm not capable, those are the thoughts that we have to intentionally use this skill of thought creation to override and to understand what's happening, and then to be able to choose differently. Those default thoughts aren't just going to go away on their own. They're default. Like, our brains want to be efficient. So when they think something one time, they're like, got it. I'm going to continue to do that over and over and over. That saves me time and energy. And that, like, that part of our brain that wants to operate that way is wonderful when it comes to things that we need to do automatically, like breathing and walking. But it's not good when it just continues to rinse and repeat a thought that is not helpful for us. So, in saying all of that, settle in. If you haven't already recognized, this is going to be a longer than usual podcast episode, because I just felt like really filling you up today, filling up your brains, giving you lots of tools, but also giving you a lot of like good information to support the tools that I'm going to be giving you. So, here's how it works. We now understand that there are these five categories. We have circumstances. Then we have thoughts about our circumstances. Then we have feelings from our thoughts. Then we have actions from our feelings. And then we have a result that came from all of that. And then we realize we don't like what's happening, right? We've got the awareness. We see it. We don't like it anymore. And we know better now not to just try and change the action. And so we go, I gotta come up with a better thought. I've got to practice this skill of thought creation. Now, there are two things to remember when it comes to a new thought. You have to make sure that when you're thinking this thought, that you can believe it. That's the first piece of it. There are a lot of thoughts out there that sound really, really lovely, enter affirmations, but we don't believe them, and then we can't generate the right feelings that we need from them because we think it, and then our brain also goes like, yeah, that's bull crap, and so we can't generate a aligned feeling, and then if, like you know now, then we can't generate an aligned action. So the first thing has to be checked off when we're doing a new thought, we're creating a new thought, is that you can believe it. The next thing is that it makes you feel better than you were feeling with the old thought. Now, it doesn't even have to be like leaps and bounds better. So let's say that you have a thought, I hate my body, and when you think that, you feel depressed, and it doesn't feel believable to say, I love my body, which ideally would make you feel joyful or happy or loved, but we can't just slide in, I love my body, because we don't believe it. So instead, we take a little step ladder, if you will, and we just move to, I have a body. Okay? And when you think I have a body, you might not feel overjoyed, but I have a body doesn't create the feeling of depressed. Maybe it just creates the feeling of like, okay, neutral, accepting. And maybe that doesn't feel like, oh, that's great, but that feeling is better than depressed. And what we're trying to do, especially with some of these stickier thoughts and feelings, is make little shifts. And then we make shifts a little bit more, and we go from, I have a body, to, there are some things I could maybe like about my body. And then we go to, I like my body. And then we go to, I love some things about my body. And then eventually I love my body. And then eventually I love myself. Like, we stair step it up there. And this isn't always a quick process, right? Sometimes it takes weeks, months. I've seen for some people it take years, and that's okay. What's the rush? We got this. We got all the time in the world, right? So we know that when we're coming up with a new thought, we have to believe it, and we have to like recognize how it makes us feel and make sure that it feels better, even if it's just a little bit better, okay? Depressed to neutral, that's better, all right? When we talk about believing new thoughts, there's a process here. And the better your new thought is, the easier of a time you will have believing it. So the idea is that when you completely believe it, then you will create the result to reflect the belief. So language is really important here. Language can help as you're creating a new thought and trying to move away from an old thought. So let me give you some examples here. Ooh, I got a good one. This is one that my mentor uses a lot when she works with people on trying to stop drinking. And so she says that, you know, she'll have people come to her saying, I can't stop drinking, I drink all the time. And when they're having this thought, they feel like hopeless. And when they feel hopeless, they just want to like kind of hide from the world. And their way of hiding from the world is like drinking. So then they drink, and then the result is that they're living in this life where they just can't stop drinking, and it perpetuates this thought and belief of, hey, I can't stop drinking, right? So they see this. They see this thought that's creating them some problems, and they're like, I got to change this. But I can't stop drinking. I drink all the time. And then sliding to a new thought that they want to believe of like, I don't have to drink. I don't drink. That doesn't align. They're like, I reject that. I don't believe that. I can't even go there. So the step ladder to this belief, I'll walk you through it, of I can't stop drinking. I drink all the time. The next possible thought that we could slide in could be something like, well, there are times when I don't drink during the day, right? So originally we're thinking I can't stop drinking. I drink all the time. And then we just move into like, well, there are some times in the day when I don't drink. And then from there, maybe the next day or a few days later, we can believe there are times when I don't even want to drink, right? Maybe it's like just when I'm waking up in the morning, or maybe it's like when I'm driving and I'm just not thinking about it. Like, okay, I can acknowledge that there are some times when I don't want to. And then from there, we move to I want not to want to drink. And then maybe from there, we move to someday I will stop. We can start believing that, right? We're moving there. And then someday I won't even want to drink, right? We can start getting behind this idea of like, I know what it would be like to not even want to drink. I'm not there yet, but someday I might be. And then we're at, it's possible, you know, maybe I can start believing it's possible that I will decide to stop drinking someday. That's a possibility. And then we move to, it's possible that there will be a day when I stop drinking. I'm not saying it's today, but it's possible that there will be a day. And then from there, maybe we get to, I will stop drinking. And then from there, we get to, I don't drink anymore. And then maybe the last piece of that is, I don't ever drink. I won't ever drink again. So I love this example because you can notice how the thoughts go from these easier to believe thoughts, like really like low barrier, to more difficult thoughts. And if we just tried to jump right from the current belief to the more difficult thought, the brain would just reject it. So you can see how we created these bridge thoughts. We bridged the current thought to the new thought, the one that we really, really want to believe. And believing and going through this process, as I said before, we have to know that it's going to take time and we can't rush it. And it's in the rushing that so many people try to do that we just kind of give up, or we're met with so much resistance that we were like, this isn't working. So we have to kind of ahead of the time know that, like, I'm not going to go from I hate my body to I love my body. And I have to accept that. But I can go from I hate my body to I have a body, and be patient with myself as I continue to work on the thoughts and beliefs that I need to have in order to get to I love my body. Okay. And recognizing that, like, that's totally okay. I also want to say that one strategy that I use a lot is we can sometimes change a thought by adding words onto our current thought to soften it a bit. So sometimes this will be really helpful if we have a thought that we just don't want to let go of. And you'll notice it, because it's like, you'll notice that this thought like sucks, but you're like, yeah, but I keep thinking it. I don't want to stop thinking it. I don't want to let go of it. It feels too true. And so jumping from a thought that is just like even slightly better is so challenging. So here we just kind of like do a little add on the end. So it's like, my sister annoys me. And that doesn't make us feel good, right? We're like, yeah, now I'm annoyed. But if we add on, my sister annoys me and that's okay, changes the feeling slightly, right? We're like, and that's okay. And if that's okay, maybe I can accept it, or I can come more to this place of like neutrality. Or if it's something like, you know, my husband keeps forgetting my birthday, that makes us feel disappointed or sad or angry. But if we say, my husband keeps forgetting my birthday, and that's okay, that's okay, that's what he does. Again, maybe we're still sad, or maybe we're still a little bit upset, but it softens it a little bit. It gives us another option, another way of thinking about it. Another way that we can do this is to add on the front end the, what would be the word? It's almost like the indicator that we realize that what we're thinking, we are thinking as a thought and not as like it being a truth. So we can say like, I'm not good enough, and we can totally feel sad or unworthy. Or we can say, I'm thinking the thought that I'm not good enough. And I know that sounds super subtle, but what it does, even if you try it on right now, is it gives you enough space from this thought to just be like, okay, this isn't actually a reality that I'm not good enough. This is a thought that I'm thinking. And that shifts things just enough. And the last strategy I'll give you for creating a new thought is to look at the thought that you currently have. Here, I'll give you one that is so common. I'm too busy, right? Let's say your circumstance is you have 6 kids and you homeschool them all, and you're responsible for all of the schooling and all of the cooking and all of the cleaning, but you also want to take care of yourself and work out and eat healthy and all the things. But your thought about all of those things that are circumstances, you have 6 kids, you homeschool them, these are things that are true, but your thought is, I'm too busy. And you know how that's making you feel, overwhelmed or helpless. And then when you feel that way, you act overwhelmed and you like run around with your chicken, like a chicken with their head cut off, and you don't stick to the things that are important to you because you're like, I'm too busy. Like, you know, it's the cycle that keeps repeating. So you're recognizing this. When you see the thought, you catch it. I'm too busy. And then you have the awareness that we've talked about throughout this whole episode of what that is creating in your life, and you're taking full healthy ownership of it. The question you can then ask yourself, one of your options that I'm giving you, is how do I want to think about this circumstance? Okay? We're not going to change the fact that you have 6 kids, the fact that you homeschool them, the fact that you're doing all the cooking and all of the cleaning, and that you also are trying to take care of yourself, or I shouldn't say trying, that you are committed to a workout routine or a specific meal plan, okay? Those are your circumstances. We're not going to change them. How do you want to think about those things? So instead of thinking, I'm too busy, maybe what we want to think is, I can do this. I got this. So a lot of times when we ask ourselves what we want to think, and give yourself the opportunity to think like best case scenario. So then we can try it on. So we leave all the circumstances the same. 6 kids, homeschool, doing the cooking, doing the cleaning, doing my workouts. Right now I'm thinking I'm too busy. Blah, throw that one out. That one's not working for us. Then we throw in instead, I got this, no problem. And we like this thought. We really like it. We're like, man, if I could just think this, I would feel empowered, and I would like do the things that empowered people do, which is like organize my house better, get us on a good schedule. I would be calm, like all of these things. We get it. We love this thought. But we don't yet believe it fully. There's a little bit of resistance. We're like, yeah, that sounds lovely, but I don't believe it. I don't really believe that I got this. What you can do as a little helpful, give yourself a little help here, is you can slide one of these things before it, okay? You can say, I'm open to the idea that I can do this. It's possible that I got this. I will someday look back and see that I was able to do all of this. So you can slide some of those little things onto the front end just to give you some of the encouragement and some of the extra belief that, like, you know what, even if I don't believe it fully and I can't say fully, oh, I got this, I can do this. If I don't believe that, then maybe I just say, I'm willing to believe, I'm willing to try on, I'm willing to consider that I can do all of this. And that feels better and feels true for me. If I was sliding myself into this life circumstance, that's better than just thinking on default, I'm too busy, I'm too busy, I'm too busy. So what's so important to pull out of all of this, is that life is going to happen, circumstances are going to happen, and our default thoughts are going to happen. And then we have to, this is a skill, I'll say it again, we have to practice and practice telling our brains what to think on purpose. If we don't, it will do the default thing. It will save itself all of the energy and all of the effort and just go rinse and repeat the same thoughts we've always had. I'm too busy. I can't do this. I'm not worthy. I'm not capable. I'm not lovable. I'm not beautiful. It will rinse and repeat the things that it's already thought. There's no reason for it to fight hard to have a different thought, because when it has to fight hard to have a different thought, like, you got to do some work. Right? Like, as you just heard throughout this longer episode, like, it takes some work to create a new thought. You got to practice it. You got to live into it. You've got to really work with it over and over. But the outcome is so worth it, because when we create a new thought and we create a new feeling and we take a different action that's completely different than what we were doing before from this crummy thought, then we create a different result. And that is what allows us to create our own unique, empowered, in our control life. And I have to say this again, even if the circumstance is something that we are just objectively like, this is no good, there are circumstances out there that happen that are terrible. Okay? Talk about someone losing a loved one to like a drunk driver, right? That happens. That's a circumstance. Okay. And I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying let's use mind manipulation to be like, that's a great thing. But here's where the difference comes in. Here's where the mind management comes in. We could take something like that and be like, this is an injustice. People out there shouldn't, like, this is terrible. They're terrible people. And then we feel angry and we feel resentful, right? And we see that play out in how people live their lives and what ends up becoming of them and maybe their family because of the way they thought about this circumstance, this objectively terrible circumstance. Or we've seen other scenarios where same thing has happened. Someone's lost a loved one tragically and they've mourned that loss and they've felt all the things they need to feel around losing a loved one. But then they've shifted to thoughts of like, how can we prevent this? What could we do that could be good from this? And then they create foundations, or they create nonprofits, or they create awareness, or they create solutions. And then we see how that plays out in their life. So this is something that's just so important. Another like little piece of this where it's like, we're not trying to manipulate our brains into a land of like, not being in touch with reality, but what we're trying to do is create options for ourselves, create options for our brain, and ultimately for our own existence and reality and all the results and outcomes that happen in our lives that are going to be better for us, even in the worst case scenario, but in sometimes in a pretty like uncomfortable scenario, like, hey, listen, I've got 6 kids, I'm trying to homeschool them all, like, this is kind of hard for me. How can I make it easier? Okay. So I trust that there was just like so many little gold nuggets in here for you today. I know I loaded you with a ton of beautiful, like very deep, very important information. And I say this a lot of times and I mean it deeply with every part of me. My inbox is always open. So if you heard something today that you're like, I don't understand, I'm struggling with this, I don't know how to implement this, the email is in the show notes. I love to chat with y'all. That this is my passion work. It's also obviously my career work, but my heart is so full of just wanting to share these tools with the world, because it has changed my life, and it hasn't just changed it one time. It changes my life daily. Sometimes like minute by minute, as I'm having to manage my mind about certain things that come up that like are hard or challenging. And sometimes it comes up daily and sometimes weekly. I mean, it's just this beautiful flow of life. But if I didn't have these tools and this way of managing my mind in a healthy way, I would be stuck. And I would be stuck in this rinse and repeat of negative thoughts and negative feelings based on the things that are just going to happen in the world. So with all of me, I say, take all of this information in, digest it, understand it, practice it, apply it, know that it's not going to be perfect all the time, but continue to bring yourself back to this awareness of where you have this healthy control, which is everything that you're thinking about, everything that's happening. You have got this, my friends. I believe in you. I love you. Let's live a meaningful life, and we will chat so soon. Hey, thanks so much for listening along with me today. I hope you found this episode helpful. And if you could do me a solid, drop me a 5-star rating below and please comment what you liked about this podcast and how it was helpful for you. And if it was, I would love for you to share this with a friend. That is one way that I can continue to grow this podcast, reach more people, and continue to spread the good word. Also, make sure you hit subscribe on your way out so that you never miss an episode with myself, the Mindset Maniac. I'll see you here next time.